clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into SST on Apple Podcasts, App, Spotify, and on YouTube. You know, you can always watch the podcast on Spotify as well. So if you're a Spotify guy, open up that app and check us out as we make our picks. Joining me, as they have basically every single week, as they will every week moving forward for NFL football, Pat Boyle and Cody O'Connor. And it seems to be a trend that Mark Shanlugan is ducking the smoke again after another week of bad picks, not just by him, though. Unfortunately, I come to you all today following our worst week of the season, a combined 2-10 record for the four of us. Pat Boyle with one win, Cody O'Connor with one win, me and Mark Shanlugan with big goose eggs in the win column. It hurt, it stung, it made Christmas a little bit worse. But I know we still got some winners on the outside of the SST pick, so we're not going to be discouraged. We're still going to come in here with some gumption. So, Patty B, my guy, you're leading the way over the past couple weeks, and unfortunately, you led the way with a 1-2 in Week 16.
Yeah, just throw that week out the window, right? Whatever Santa put under our tree. I mean, we got a fucking big lump of coal with our picks this week. Oof. My goodness, talk about a stinker. But hey. We rebound. We got 2 weeks left to get right for the playoffs. I'll be here for picks all throughout the playoffs. I know Cody will. Mark probably won't. He'll have to take another test, some other series, you know, 98 or whatever. They'll probably invent one. Mark will spend 8 hours a day studying and can't jump on the podcast, but that's fine.
Clearly he's not making a living off gambling, so.
So let's get some winners. And you know what? I told you guys the 2 weeks before that, I was 5-1 combined, just betting spreads. For two of these three picks, I'm getting back to basics here, and I'm just putting my sword and my shield in the ground, and we're riding.
And Cody O'Connor, also here, now officially, I know I said this a week or two ago, now officially tied for first, same exact record, push included, me and Cody O'Connor sitting at 26-21-2. Merry Christmas, bro.
I'll take being a tied at the top after like a month straight of 1-2s and a miraculous 1-1-1 has been sprinkled in there. It's been a little bit of tough sledding. I know we're going to talk about it. We talked about it in our group chat, how this week seemed tough as well. Just going through the picks and trying to even pick three felt very difficult. But maybe that's what we need. Maybe it can't be the overly confident that I felt about the Bills last week, about the Jags last week. And so hopefully, you know, the slight lean is the way to go. And that's all I've got for you this week is a couple slight leans on a really tough slate.
I couldn't agree more, Cody. And I think it, you know, reflected in my picks, picking the Chiefs. You know, it felt like that was a spot for them to show up and do something special. They obviously had the two big turnovers where the Raiders didn't even, you know, score an offensive touchdown and won the game outright on Christmas Day. It was shocking. But, you know, as you watch the game, you're like, yeah, they're going to come back. And then you got that feeling. It's like, wait, maybe the Chiefs aren't going to come back, right? And that's what we're getting a lot this year. And before we get into our picks, I do want to ask you guys a question about the overarching picture of the league, the gambling side of things, and the powers that be in the NFL. I will quickly say this, 97-93-2, we're still above 500 on the year. After the 2-10 week 16, obviously that's rough. But we've been very proud to boast the record we have every single week of the year so far. And we're still proud of 97-93, just not as proud as we would have been if we were a little bit better on Christmas weekend. However, Pete Kennedy, 26-21-1. Cody O'Connor, 26-21-1. Mark Shanlugan, 23-25. And Pat Boyle, 22-26. Obviously, you know, we kind of highlighted Pat on the little run, 5-1 before last week. So we'll see as these records get closer and closer where we end up towards the playoffs. So now I just want to ask you guys this. Is it just me? Is it just the narrative? Is it just the talking about the league as much as we do? Or does this season feel like we don't know what the hell's going on more so than usual? And I know we've been here before. I know Pat and I have been on this podcast for years saying, oh, who are the real contenders? We still don't know this far into the season. But this one feels a little extra special here. Pat, I'll start with you. Is this hyperbole? Is this just narrative? Or do we actually have an extra sense of not understanding who the powers are in the NFL?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think it's that when the elite teams this year have been bad, they've been bad for long stretches of time. Look at the 49ers, lost three games in a row in the middle of the year. Look at the Eagles, lost four games in a row? Or was it three games in a row? And then you thought they were going to steamroll three games in a row. You thought they were going to steamroll the Giants, and the Giants on the final play, just because of sheer, you know, idiocy on offense and a slip that, you know, Hurts throws a pick six and a kickoff fumble in the first play of the second half. The Giants had a chance to win that game on the final play. So when the Eagles have been bad, they've been bad this year. When the Niners were bad, they lost three games in a row. You know, so the elite teams like that, and when the Chiefs have been bad, it seems like for 6 weeks now. So it seems like when the elite teams have been bad, it's just been for prolonged stretches. They haven't gotten out of them as quickly as I feel like in the past. So I think that's kind of clouding our judgment, or maybe, you know, like you said, it's making us have those thoughts of like, all right, who are the real contenders? Because here we are with 2 weeks left in the season, and I still don't know what the hell kind of team the Chiefs are going to show up with on a week-to-week basis. You always feel like the Eagles defense could get shredded for 30 points by anybody. I mean, hell, they got shredded for 400 yards by Sam Howell earlier this year, who is now benched for Jacoby Brissett. And the Niners, you know, again, earlier in the year, I know they were a little banged up, but I think that's what it is more so than anything. I'm still pretty confident. NFC title game, it'll be Eagles-Niners. AFC title game, it'll be Ravens. And I still think the Chiefs are going to get there against all odds.
Wow. And the Chiefs part of it is definitely wild because it's getting harder and harder to see where that offense is going to come from. And maybe the better question is that second tier or that second and third tier in both sides, AFC and NFC, is just so large right now, right? How many teams are still in playoff contention? In the AFC, you got everybody from the Jacksonville, actually the Chiefs, let's include them in the conversation, from the Chiefs all the way down to the Denver Broncos who are in the hunt here still. And on the flip side of the NFC, everybody from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down to the Chicago Bears still in the running here for a playoff berth. Bears obviously with an outside chance, but nonetheless. So we're sitting here with just this really big mishmash of teams that still think that they're contending for something this year. So Cody, has that affected how you've seen the past couple weeks here? Are you trying to find some clarity yourself?
It's definitely taken a little bit more of like a second look and an extra look to think this team should bounce back, because that's been kind of the trend this year, is just when you think you've got it figured out, the next thing happens. And, you know, the Niners just getting their butts kicked on Christmas night by the Ravens kind of shows you all about that, because they've been taking out the league left and right, winning multi-score games and not really even being close since they got healthy again. And then the Ravens go into San Fran and just completely take care of business there. So, but I kind of remember this feeling last year. And it's funny that Pat says, the four teams who are probably the top four in most power rankings to end up in those conference championships, because I remember this thinking last year, and then it was an Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl. And it's like, oh, we actually just got the best two teams. That's who they were. But no, it's been weird this year because, again, every spot that you're ready for the team to say, no, it's us, we're the best team, it seems like they are due for a letdown spot. And so, as much as I've tried to look for that going into this week, then you throw in the new coaches and the quarterbacks and all these different weird variables. And that's kind of what this league's been this year, is a lot of weirdness, a lot of sloppiness in each game, fumbling and just penalties that are mental errors and things that make you question what's going on behind the scenes, if they're practicing as much. I remember Brady talked about it earlier this year about how it's just not as crisp anymore. And since he said that, I feel like I've kind of looked closer into that. And every time I watch a standalone game, I go, are you really? Like a fumble inside the red zone, or we just got a blocked field goal from 25 yards before. And just stuff like that seems to keep happening. And that's what makes it so difficult to make these picks.
I wonder how much that has to do with it, the way we ingest football now, too. We all watch the standalone games on Thursday, Sunday night, Monday night. Sometimes there's multiple. Obviously, on Christmas weekend, it was just football up the wazoo. Every time you turned around, there's a different standalone game on. Obviously, you still had the red zone slate on Sunday. But those standalone games, and Ryan Russillo says this all the time, they seem to, in the public narrative, count for two or three games sometimes. That's the way it seems, right? Like, even just look at those MVP odds, which it's not a new story at this point. I put the reel out on Subway Sports Talk, Instagram, and TikTok right at the end of that Ravens-Niners game. But Brock Purdy had one bad game, and he's out, right? He went from the big favorite to one bad game, and he's out of the picture for MVP. That's how quick this stuff shifted. And that's a primetime game. If Ravens Niners happens at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, is the reaction the same? Is the move as drastic? And I think as a football viewing public, we all fall into these traps frequently where you see something a little bit more in your face and it matters that much more. And it's something that as a gambler, you really have to be careful about, because for the players, the primetime game may not mean as much as what it means to our, you know, ideas of what these teams are when, you know, you have six games on at 1 o'clock versus one game on at 8 p.m. So with that all being said, I want to get to the slate here as we get to our week 17 picks. And I want to ask you before we go to our first pick, Pat, I'll start with you. Looking at this slate, what stood out to you? Did this seem like an enticing slate? Did this seem like something where you had some stayaways on your marker?
It sucks, to be honest, in my opinion. I mean, we were talking about that before we started the podcast. You have a bunch of massive favorites who, you know, it's you would think it'd be easy to trust the Niners given 12.5 on the road, but now that Jacoby Brissett is playing, plus it's late in the year, they don't want to risk injuries. You know, it's just weird shit happens, right? You think the Bills are another massive favorite at home again. It feels like you can never trust them as a massive favorite. Patriots have been playing well. Belichick, they're not quitting on them at all. Eagles, 12-point favorites, but you always worry about that defense with a backdoor cover. So really, I think all those double-digit spreads are all traps, in my opinion. I would be stunned if all three of the favorites cover, and I'd be surprised if two of those three double-digit favorites cover. I think you probably get a backdoor cover in one, and you probably get one of the other big favorites that just, you know, don't necessarily play that great. So, you know, who is that going to be? That's left to us to find out. And then you've got a bunch of other teams that are not, they're in playoff contention still, but you don't really give them any chance. And, you know, you got a Rams game on the road against the Giants, 5.5. That's such an awkward number. The Giants showed up and played well against the Eagles. So, you know, you're asking yourself, I feel like this week more so than a lot, which kind of team is going to show up depending on what game you're looking at. It's a tough one.
And turnovers seem to be such a big player in these games now, where when you think about some of the smartest people in football, they always talk about how turnovers are typically something that you can't predict. They're a little bit more random than let on, right? You think about batted passes, you think about fumbles from guys who are pretty reliable, and you don't want to predict that moving forward. However, there are some teams, and we'll use the Giants as an example, who have caused a lot of turnovers in consecutive weeks, right? I saw that graphic during the Giants game on Christmas Day. They've caused more turnovers in the league than any team since week 9 or whatever it was their bye or whatever that graphic said. So they were a team that weren't causing any turnovers and then went on a stretch where they are doing it more than anybody else in the league. The Raiders, another team that come to mind. Obviously, two defensive touchdowns against the Chiefs. Does that mean the Raiders are playing extraordinarily well? Does that mean that they're going to continue to turn people over and put up crooked numbers with defensive scores? Or does it mean they're due for a game without turnovers? I'm not sure. Cody, does that go into your thought process at all when you're looking at these games, when you're trying to think about, you know, turnovers and what's reliable and what's not?
Oh, for sure. For sure. What's sustainable is kind of what you try to look for. What do you feel like can turn over from week to week and be something that you could build on, or what was something that's more fluky? Aiden O'Connell winning that game with, I think, zero passing yards in the second half is probably not a sustainable, right, attempt to win football games. But, you know, the Colts came out with a stinker, so they do feel like a team with a good bounce back. But like you said, you can't predict turnovers. I mean, we're watching, at least I've been watching this Thursday night football game, and there's been, I think, three fumbles. There's been a couple interceptions. There's been two defensive touchdowns. There's been a blocked field goal. This is just one game I'm talking about. So, you know, this is a slate where every team's playing and there's a lot to pick from. But there's also, you know, in that same breath, I've got to pick the right ones. I've got to make my three picks the right ones. And that's where it gets to be difficult. So, yeah, it's a lot.
Any one game, Cody, that you just said, no way, can't do it. Not Patty threw a couple out, but any one game, maybe two games that you saw on this late and you're just like, nah, can't do it. Can't do it.
There's so many.
all of them.
Right? It's like every single one. The Pittsburgh going into Seattle, two teams that I feel like I'm having a hard time getting a grasp on. Anytime I pick on or against the Titans, I'm wrong. It doesn't matter which side. I'm just wrong every single time. So every time I see their line, I typically get intrigued and then I stay away. So Those are probably the first two I'd highlight. Vikings-Packers is also strange to me just because the Vikings are starting a rookie quarterback, and I would think that the Packers would be more of a favorite, but they're not. So,
yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree. And shout out to me for being a little under the weather and a little busy over Christmas and only posting Pat's video on Instagram and TikTok, which was our only hit of the week. I think my video was a Chiefs video. Cody, yours was a Bills video, and we would have looked like complete square losers if I posted those videos. So shout out me and my lackluster social media performance by not posting our videos last week. But the pics are posted and we're still losers. So that is what it is. One of the games for me that I want to stay away from, just to throw it out there before we start, I'm staying away from Jaguars Panthers. I have too much invested in the Jaguars from preseason. I've been betting them. I blindly bet them last week without knowing if Trevor Lawrence was even healthy or not. Didn't work out for me. He looked terrible. Patty B is on a war path against Trevor Lawrence and me. I'm taking it personal. And I do believe that they're the best team in this matchup. Obviously, I believe they're going to beat the Panthers, but all the things are pointing to that being a stupid bet. The bet went from 9 to 6.5 and still more cash on the Panthers than the Jaguars, or at least percentage of cash, I should say. And it's just such a sketchy line, 6.5, where the Jaguars are the way better team at home. They've been playing bad at home, and I can't do it to myself again. I can't go down that hole again. And Pat, I don't know if you want to say anything about Trevor Lawrence before we start our picks.
Oh yeah, no, I'm pushing P, and the P stands for propaganda. anti-Trevor Lawrence propaganda. He stinks, Pete. Oh. He stinks. And look, you suit up, you put the helmet and pads on. I don't want to hear about injuries. I don't want to hear about his ankle that he had an injury. I don't want to hear about the concussion. He cleared the protocol. Now he's got a shoulder injury, right? A guy that has never missed a start, and I give him credit for being a gamer. He's going to try and suit it up again on Sunday. You would think, even with C.J. Beathard, they could probably win the game, but the guy is a turnover machine, Pete. So I tweeted it, and I'm going to double down on it. Trevor Lawrence is starting to enter Jamarcus Russell level bust territory, mostly because of what we were sold what he was, which was a generational quarterback that was going to win Super Bowls, right? I don't think that's hyperbolic. When he was drafted, he was the next Andrew Luck. He was the next Peyton Manning. He has been a colossal disappointment this year, especially after, you know, you get the ultimate pass in year one. All right, Urban Meyer, the team stunk, whatever, a toxic environment, basically double the amount of turnovers as touchdowns. But even then, year two, they were mediocre until the last 5 weeks of the year. They got hot, went on a heater. Give them credit for coming back, but if it's any other head coach than Brandon Staley, they lose that game against the Chargers. He would not have won a playoff game in his career. And this year, in every game they lose, he's averaging over 2 turnovers a game. So, you know, we talk about you can't predict turnovers. You can with Trevor Lawrence. He will turn it over again, and again, and again. And I guarantee you that this game's going to be close with Carolina. This game's going to be close, even if Trevor Lawrence plays, because he is not playing good football this year. And again, compared to what we were sold he was, compared to what he's been, very average so far now at the end of year three, he's a bust.
And I know you're not saying he is Jamarcus Russell. You're just saying based upon what he was expected to be, the percentage loss is so bad that you want to put in that territory.
And that's where that's where a lot of folks got tripped up when I did a show on CBS Sports Radio and on Twitter, you know, people crushing me. That's fine.
Pat, here's the difference between people and me. I listen to you, bro. I listen to you, and you made points that I don't really have many things to say about, except for he's going to do better. He's going to throw out the record books, and the Raiders are going to – I don't know. I got nothing. It was really hard to defend Trevor Lawrence after last week. It sucked, and I feel bad about it. However, I'm not going to back down and say that he sucks. I'm not doing that. I know what he's done. I know what he's capable of. I have a feeling that he's going to still make the playoffs, be competitive in the playoffs. I don't think he's going to do anything crazy this year. I think Christian Kirk being hurt really hurts him. He's that kind of safety blanket for him. But that's not a big enough excuse for Trevor Lawrence to suck and throw a bunch of interceptions. So I'm not going to die on the hill today, but I will probably die on the hill in the offseason saying that he's the guy. The only thing that made me nervous is Todd McShay talking about Trevor Lawrence and these quarterbacks that are generational and the yada, yada, yada. He was talking about some of the guys like Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford who have these like minds that are, and even like some of the coaches, Sean McVay, that just like remember everything. And they're so cerebral and they know what play happens on a Saturday and, you know, 6 years ago. They just remember everything. They just know, they know, they know. And he said that Trevor Lawrence is not that type of guy. He's more of just a physical guy who understands the offense and understands what he's looking at, but he's not the most mentally intelligent quarterback, and maybe that was the part of the goods that we were sold that wasn't accurate. When Todd McShay said something about that, I was a little bit, maybe Pat's not crazy. All right, let's get on to our Week 17 picks. Anyone want to volunteer for tribute? Go first. Patty B, on a roller. Let's go.
Yep, going back to basics here, and I'm going to lay the three and the hook with Gardner Minshew and the Indianapolis Colts at home against the all of a sudden in contention still for the AFC West, the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, are you kidding me? Let me give Antonio Pierce his credit. They are 5-1-1 against the spread since he has taken over. They clearly play for him, and they are clearly a motivated bunch right now. But that's, you know, let's be honest. If we just bet based on motivation, you'd be wrong more than you'd be right. So I know that the Raiders are still in playoff contention. I know that they have a very slim chance, and they're going to go out there and they're going to play for Antonio Pierce, but their dream comes crashing down on Sunday because they should have scored 6 points against the Chiefs, right? Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City gifted them 14 points in the span of 7 seconds, and the Chiefs offense could not get out of their own goddamn way on Sunday. Colts offense, much, much different, and it's a Colts offense that is getting Michael Pittman back this weekend. Now, not official, but he is a full participant at practice coming off the concussion and not playing against Atlanta. I'm going to say confidently he's going to be back this weekend. That is huge for them in the passing game. Without him, they looked a little bit lost against Atlanta, and the Colts have a very balanced offense. So, look, Gardner Minshew, I'm going to trust him at home where the Colts have won their last two games, steamrolling the Steelers 2 weeks ago, and then their last home game before that was Thanksgiving weekend when they beat the Buccaneers, who are now red hot. So the Colts back at home off a stinker, the Raiders off of two, you know, emotional wins, blowing out the Chargers and then beating the Chiefs, where Aiden O'Connell threw for 62 yards, and he threw for in quarters 2 through 4. You know how many passing yards Aiden O'Connell had? Zero. So they're going to have to do a lot more than that offensively this weekend, and the Colts defense is mediocre, right? They can probably run on them, but 3.5, it's a little bit trap looking like. I'm throwing out my worm. I'm throwing out my fish. I'm going fishing here, and I'm going to reel in the Colts, given 3.5 here, to continue their push for the AFC South crown while Trevor Lawrence and the Jags try to choke it away.
Wow, I love it. I'm going to do something out of the ordinary here because I'm feeling the energy in the room. This was going to be my third pick, Pat, but since you kicked us off with Colts -3.5, let me join the party. Colts -3.5. I'm right there with you, brother. I think the Colts are due for a bounce back here. It makes a whole lot of sense. All the things that you kind of stated, I'm not going to repeat everything you just said about the Raiders and the luck that really came to fruition with that win over the Chiefs and those two defensive touchdowns, the offense looking incompetent. If you look at the Raiders' last couple of games, man, they've been incompetent multiple times on offense. Other than that 63-point shellacking, beating, whatever you want to call it, against the Chargers on prime time, this offense has been struggling. They're not moving the ball well. They're not getting Devontae Adams good looks here. I think the Colts are a much more sound team. They've been way more sound throughout the entire season. And you look at some of the statistics here, the Colts do actually kind of look pretty good in some of the statistics defensively. Their upper half in run defense, they're right around middle of the pack in pass defense. That's more than good enough to slow down this team that really looked abysmal in the air last week. And yes, they ran through the Chiefs, but the Chiefs got bigger issues, bigger fish to fry. The Colts right now, they're bouncing back. I'm with you. I'm not going to reiterate everything Patty said. I just figured, why wait to pick number three? I'll get my first pick out there. I'm with you, Pat. And I'll say this last thing. The money is with us too, Pat. 65% of the bets on the underdog of the Raiders +3.5, only 52% of the cash. That means way more cash per ticket coming in on the Indianapolis Colts. When you see a public underdog, that's a great time to take three in the hook in the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow. Guys are convincing. Am I going to make it a perfect three? I think I am.
No.
The
no
Ravens way. -3 is the pick actually here. So I am going to do a version of a three, but I'm not going to follow you on the Colts, at least just not to this point. Who knows if something changes, because all that sounds good to me. Plus, I think that hook there at 3.5 is exactly the line telling you they want you to back the Raiders. That's one of those, you know, give me the extra half point there so I can take the Raiders. Meanwhile, the Colts win by a touchdown. So I like where both your heads are at, but that's not where I went with pick number one for me. I am going with the Ravens -3 at home against a Dolphins team that I often back and I very rarely want to bet against. But this Ravens team coming off that big, big Monday night game and the odds for the MVP flipping for Lamar Jackson, who now I think is just a win and a one seed away. No matter how they do it, I think they're a win and a one seed away from Lamar, all but wrapping up the MVP. Obviously, the one seed being so important with only one team getting the first round bye. And I think the Ravens can just smell blood in the water. Now, this is a little bit against what we've been talking about with what we saw on a primetime game and kind of going against it. But the Dolphins have also been playing really good football. And I think it's about time that they go up against this really great Ravens team. And the Ravens show that we are the class of the AFC. Dolphins have to go on the road. Are they a bad road team? No, they're 4-3 on the road, if I'm not mistaken. But the Ravens are a fantastic home team at 5-1. Their only loss being against those Indianapolis Colts in overtime, if you guys remember, way back to like week 3 this year. So they've had it rolling for a while since. Lamar is the MVP in my eyes, and he's absolutely playing at that level. Do I think I could get a push here? Could I see it? Sure. But I think the Ravens are just going to at home, and that's really big for me here, and I keep mentioning it, but I think they're going to take care of business, all but wrap up the one seed. Or does it wrap up the one seed? It might wrap up the one seed with a win.
I believe it does.
I think it does. I don't know if the Browns winning tonight is going to change that or not. But
now they got 2 games on the Browns right now.
So there you have it. So if the Ravens win, they get the one seed. Like I said, I think that secures Lamar's MVP. I think that gives the Ravens really 2 weeks off, which maybe that's too much, but we're not betting them in the playoffs. We're betting them this week, -3 at home over the Fins, class of the AFC, pick number one.
All right. Second pick, and this is one that I kind of despise. Like, I kind of hate this. I kind of hate this pick here. It's a two-team parlay. One, I'm going through zero, which you're not supposed to do. But screw it, you know, because this slate stinks, in my opinion. So this one, I'm kind of hunting for a gem here, and I hope that I have found one. So let's go Eagles. Let's get 6 points off of there. Let's go with the Eagles -6.5. I think I'm actually taking 7 points. I think that spread is a 12.5 or 13, whatever. Eagles -6.5. And then let's tease the Broncos through zero all the way to +3.5. And that's -119 odds. I think, you know, you look at that on paper, you think, sure, the Eagles should beat the Cardinals by a touchdown. And I don't think the Broncos are going to lose by more than a field goal. I think they win the game. With the Eagles really quickly, you know, again, is Kyler Murray going to play? He's got an illness. And then can the Eagles secondary hold up? I don't see any reason how they shouldn't. I don't see any way where they don't run for 200 plus yards easily against the Cardinals defense that has been atrocious this year. So again, like you said, Pete, you can't predict turnovers. Is Goddard going to slip and it turns into a pick six? Are they going to fumble the opening kickoff to start the second half where Zacchaeus, you know, runs into his own guy? You know, if you don't get two fluky turnovers like that, the Eagles probably cover the actual spread. But I think they can absolutely win by a touchdown. Eagles -6.5. And then here we go. The Broncos +3.5 to not lose by more than a field goal with Jarrett Stidham coming in. Jarrett Stidham was announced the starter, and the spread actually went down. I think that is kind of absurd, right? And I know we all love to pile up on Russ. He was a lot better this year than he was last year. Still had problems pushing the ball down the field. Welcome Jarrett Stidham. Last year, remember, started the last 2 games of the year for Vegas. What did he do? 365 yards and 3 touchdowns against San Francisco, and then 219 yards and a touchdown. Played okay and also ran the ball like pretty damn well. 84 rushing yards in 2 combined games against the Niners and the Chiefs to finish a season where the Raiders were dead. So Jarrett Stidham now in the Bronco blue and orange. I think that he's going to be able to push the ball down the field. The big one with this, does Cortland Sutton play? That's one where very much up in the air, you know, going through concussion protocol, I believe. Did not practice on Thursday. not looking great. I hope he suits it up. But either way, I just think, again, I'm not going to get carried away with the Chargers going to Buffalo or hosting Buffalo and keeping that game close last Saturday off the heels of getting torched and Staley, you know, losing his job. Was it Giff Smith is the interim head coach, right? You got the head coach, new head coach bump against the Bills. To me, that was a situational spot where the Bills were coming off the emotional win against the Cowboys. You got a new head coach, interim head coach for the Chargers. That's a game where I think Buffalo lets you down all the time. And luckily they were able to win it. So now you fast forward another week. I think Easton Stick stinks. I think this Chargers defense is historically atrocious, and especially, again, Joey Bosa done for the year, some of their big players. I don't think Keenan Allen's going to play again. I doubt he plays the rest of this season. Joshua Palmer might not play. So how are they scoring points? How are they scoring points here? I don't see it happening, and I'm even giving myself the cushion of the Broncos losing, but it's not going to be by more than a field goal. So ask yourself your favorite question. How does it lose here? I hate this pick, though. But Eagles minus 6.5, Broncos plus 3.5, minus 119.
Sometimes you got to hate a pick, Pat. You know I'm in line for hating a few picks in my day. So I like it. I mean, I don't love it because I also hate it, and that's why I love it. So I'm with you. Good pick. All right, here we go. On to my first pick, technically my first pick. I know I already made the Colts pick, but I'll go on to what would have been my first pick. I'm going to take the Chicago Bears straight up, minus 3, home against the Atlanta Falcons. My question to you guys is, not really a question, it's more rhetorical. My question to everyone listening here is, what do we think about the Atlanta Falcons? Well, that's a team that can run the football. Ain't that right? They run the hell out of the football, don't they? Actually, you look at the statistics, they're extremely mediocre running the football. What don't they do super well? They don't pass the football super well. Well, they're super mediocre in passing the football as well. But what do the Chicago Bears actually do extraordinarily well that we all kind of don't realize? We all forget about it. It all goes overlooked. They are top 3 in defensive yards per rush, only giving up 3.5 yards per attempt on the ground against opposing rushing attacks. That's great numbers right there. Look at their last bunch of games on defense. They've only given up over 100 rushing yards twice in the last 12 weeks. They are doing a phenomenal job of slowing down opposing rush attacks. Those numbers right there are telling you everything you need to know. I think this Falcons team has been way too full of itself offensively with how they're calling plays here. Yes, they ran all over the Indianapolis Colts last week. I'm not chalking that up to saying they figured it all out and they're going to be guns a-blazing moving forward. The Bears' run defense is one of the best in the NFL. And that's even with them playing with their hand tied behind their back a lot of the times, playing down, playing where other teams do have to run the ball a good amount. The Chicago Bears have been playing good football. They're also looking good on the other side of it. They run the ball well. On the offensive side of things, we're looking at a rushing team in the Chicago Bears that's top 7 in the NFL. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Falcons, they're not great at protecting the run. You know, they're about in the 10-ish range, upper echelon, but not great. So I think the Bears are going to be able to control this game. They're at home. They're going to be outside. This is a perfect spot for the Bears to kind of prove their value of what they've been doing over the past couple weeks. They've been showing that they can compete. They've had some good wins. They obviously beat the Lions a couple weeks ago. They beat the Vikings a couple weeks back before that, off a nice win off the Cardinals. I think this is a great spot here. The 3, obviously, you wish it was 2.5, but I'm A-okay with taking the Bears minus 3. That's going to be my best pick of the week. Bears over the Falcons.
Frisky. I like it. Going to the Bears. How about that? All right. I got another straight pick for you because, you know, I looked at this line and I wanted to just go money line. I thought maybe I'll combine them with the Niners and buy them down or even the Colts and take a money line or go through the 0. But we talked about it. It's an ugly week. So it's not a week for me to try and be right about 2 things in 1 pick. Let's try to be right about just 1 thing. And I'm going with another pick. Pat, you said you despise your pick. Well, I despise this team, but I got to pick them because they're home and they're a dog when they're home. And that's the minus 5.5 Cowboys. 7-0 at home this year. We've all seen the point differentials. They have been an absolute juggernaut there. The Lions, not a horrible road team, much better at home. Lions just secured the division. two teams, Dallas's back-to-back losses. They got to get it going. Lions are riding high. They're probably partying in Detroit. They haven't seen a division title in our lifetime. Good for them. You earned it. Enjoy it. Dallas is going to bring them back to earth a little bit this week. They played a good game against the Dolphins last week, 22-20 in Miami. There's really nothing to be ashamed about. They got their asses beat against the Bills 2 weeks ago, where the Bills didn't even have to throw the ball on them. They kind of embarrassed them, ran the ball all down their throat. Again, this is a different Dallas team when they are home, and I think they're going to show that here. Dak and the boys, when they're home, they light up the scoreboard. So, again, I didn't want to combine this with something. I did not want to mess around. The defense has been a little bit more leaky in that Cowboys, The Lions are a team that can run the football, so that part makes you a little bit nervous because it's the run defense for Dallas that's really been kind of lackluster of late. But I'm going with the straight pick. I'm going with them -5.5. I do not love the game. I do not love the team. I wouldn't hate to be wrong, but this team's been a juggernaut at home, and I'm going to try to ride that trend. So not too much more to go into this. Dallas -5.5, pick number 2 for me.
All right, final pick for me, and as I continue to go through the injury report here, also a pick that I now kind of hate, and I wish I did a deeper dive on the injury report, but I'm going to cross my fingers here and hope for the best, and give me the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football in a basically loser-leaves-town game, loser-leaves-their-season behind against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday night. I know how atrocious Green Bay's defense has been, right? I mean, everybody is calling for Joe Barry to get fired. They have been a joke, giving up 30 against the Panthers, giving up 34 to Baker and the Bucks the week before that. But for me, this really comes down to one thing, and that is I do not think Jaren Hall is a good quarterback at all, right? With Nick Mullins, sure, like he's guaranteed to, like, as he's getting sacked, just flip the ball up in the air and it's going to get picked off. He's good for 2 turnovers, maybe even 3 a game, but at least he moves the ball down the field. From what I saw, very limited from Jaren Hall in what, the 1 game he played this year before he got hurt, 2 games, I didn't see a guy that can throw the ball. And you know, maybe that changes now 7-8 weeks later, but I don't think he's a good quarterback, and I can't understand how Kevin O'Connell, with a season on the line, is not going with Nick Mullins. They have tossed Josh Dobbs, everybody's favorite astronaut, to the scrap heap, and it's Jaren Hall starting a game on Sunday Night Football. I mean, maybe this is a game where they hand the ball off to Ty Chandler 37 goddamn times, and they run like ends around with Justin Jefferson, but I just don't see, even with Justin Jefferson and Jair Alexander, which, by the way, not covering him, by the way, did you guys see that video I sent in our group chat of why they suspended Jair Alexander for this game? And that when they were asking him about, he went out as a captain when he wasn't named a captain because he's from Charlotte, and he botched the coin toss. And he's just like,
hysterical.
They're like, and they ask him, they're like, do you think that your team was mad at you for that mistake? And he goes, why would they? Just phenomenal. And then in the comments of that video I saw, which I had like totally wiped from my memory, the one post game where he's like, yeah, and I just saw the ball and I was like, huh? And then he goes at the end, he goes, and pack is back, let's go. Oh my god, Jaire Alexander is pure comedy. And it's like a guy that is obviously that dumb, like, let's be honest, that's stupid. You can't suspend him. So, again, I don't like the injury report for Green Bay. It's looking like Christian Watson might not play again. Dontavian Wicks might not play with the chest injury. And they got questionables, at some key spots on the defense, not to mention Jaire Alexander not playing. But, again, Cody, like you said, this spread didn't make sense. You thought Green Bay should be a favorite. If Christian Watson doesn't play, that limits what Jordan Love can do. But for me, again, the number one factor in this game, and I'm going to live or die by it, I don't think Jaren Hall is an NFL quarterback. So we're going to find out who he really is Sunday night. He's got Justin Jefferson, this Vikings team at home. The defense has been great. You know, they're going to blitz the shit out of Jordan Love. Can he deal with the pressure? Can LaFleur, with the season on the line, come up with a good game plan? I'm back in the pack. Packers +1.
I saw someone quote tweet that Jaire interview and say, this has to be a Key and Peele spaghetti.
Yes.
Unreal.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And also he's really good at football too. So it sucks for multiple reasons, but that's hysterical, Jair Alexander. Yeah. I looked at that game. That was another one where like the line just so weird, right? Jaren Hall's a favorite. Like what's going on here? Super strange, but I kind of lean that way as well, but I stayed away. You made me remember, Pat, to check the injury report for my third pick here, because this guy is ultra important to the San Francisco 49ers. And no, I'm not talking about former MVP candidate Brock Purdy. I'm talking about left tackle Trent Williams. The 49ers are not the same team without Trent Williams. In fact, they have not won a game this year in which he did not finish the game. That includes games, obviously, in which he did not play. 0-4 when he either does not play or does not finish a game in 2023. Well, he practiced 2 days in a row, limited participant, but he's trending towards playing on Sunday. And now here comes the next stat. In 9 of the 11 wins by the San Francisco 49ers this year, they have won by 13 or more points. When this team wins, they demolish teams. One of those wins, which would make it 10 out of 11 wins, was by 12 points. So 10 out of their 11 wins are by 12 or more points. And right now they are 13-point favorites against the Washington Commanders in Washington. That don't bother me none. This team, San Francisco 49ers, off a loss on national television, off a loss in which their MVP candidate's dream, hopes and dreams, actually, he doesn't really seem like he wants to win the award, but nonetheless, went out the window. They got bruised. Their ego got bruised a little bit. Sam Darnold played some snaps. It was a little bit weird out there for the 49ers on Christmas night. I'm backing them right now, minus 13 at the Washington Commanders. I don't care. This team is too good to not put a hurting on Sam Howell, Jacoby Brissett. I don't care who's playing quarterback. If RG3 came back in his prime right now, I'm taking the 49ers. This team runs the hell out of the football. They're going to continue to do so. They're going to have another game of great rushing out of Christian McCaffrey, great game management, whatever you want to call it, out of Brock Purdy, and they're going to put a hurting on the Washington Commanders. They also dominate teams under 500. It's what they do. The 49ers don't typically play with their food. What they did last week is turn the ball over uncharacteristically an outrageous amount of times. 5 turnovers for the San Francisco 49ers. I do not expect that to happen again, and I do not expect the Washington Commanders to be even remotely in this game without those such things happening again. This team's going to be sharp off the loss. They're going to come back, and you know what you would think? A lot of people say when you say you like the Niners this week, oh, well, Jacoby Brissett's playing. You would think that makes sense, that people would start betting the Commanders. They're not. They're still betting the 49ers. That make me nervous? A little bit. I don't care. Niners roll. They won't play with their food. Minus 13. They'll win by 2 touchdowns against the Commanders.
Love it. All right. Let's move on. Pick number 3. Pat, you might want to take your headset off to hear this one because I got 2 legs for you. And the first one is the Jacksonville Jaguars on the money line. That's right. 4 straight losses. This division's gone. The Texans, even the Colts, they're going to take it from them. Trevor stinks. He's a bottom tier quarterback. He's not healthy. All of that is why the Jags are going to win this game against who I keep telling you is the worst team in football, and that's the Carolina Panthers. They have to go into Jacksonville. Am I right about that? Let me just make sure about that.
You are.
Double check. Yeah, I got to go into Jacksonville to play against a Trevor Lawrence, who hopefully is a little bit less concussed this week. I don't give him an excuse for last week. You go out, you play the game, that's what happens. I got burnt by them last week. I'm going right back to the well. But obviously, I'm nervous enough to not take a minus 6.5 because they haven't shown me that they should be a touchdown favorite after they got beat 4 weeks in a row. But who are those 4 games to? Well, it's the Bengals. Yes, it's Jake Browning, but the Bengals have been pretty frisky with him. The Browns, who are on an absolute tear because Joe Flacco is the MVP of the league. The Ravens, who have the real MVP of the league, and Lamar Jackson. And obviously, they get their asses kicked last week by the Bucks, and that is alarming and concerning and confusing. And that's why they're going to bounce back this week and get it done, get a win against Carolina. Doesn't make sense. The NFL hasn't made sense. We've been talking about it. So that's leg number 1. Leg number 2, I'm buying those same Bengals that I've been praising all year. I'm buying them up to 13.5. Couple reasons. One of them, again, I'll keep mentioning, this was a Super Bowl roster without Joe Burrow. So I just like the team. I like the construction of it. Ja'Marr Chase should be playing. That's obviously going to be huge. If he's out, I don't feel nearly as comfortable. But I do believe he's playing. He practiced today. So pending a sudden change of events, he should be in. Obviously, Joe Mixon and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd with that defense. And the Chiefs just simply haven't shown that they can blow somebody out. All of us, myself included, are waiting for this team to just, you know, flip the switch, right? We always talk about it. Oh, they're just going to, when come playoff time, they're going to flip the switch. Come down the stretch, they're going to flip the switch. Well, if this division wasn't so bad, they'd have a real concern about winning their own division right now because they have not looked like that world-beating Chiefs team. I hope they do become that team. I do have a future on them to make the AFC Championship game at minimum, but they just haven't looked like that squad. So if you're going to give me 6.5, let me buy it up to 13.5. Again, I just don't see this Chiefs team being able to blow somebody out. And until they prove otherwise, I'm going to have to make another cardinal sin of mine and bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, which I can't stand doing. I never love doing it, but that's what I'm doing this week, at least in some capacity. So Jags money line in a bounce back spot. Bengals with their playoff chances on the line, backs against the wall. Let's see if they can at least get the cover at 13.5. That's minus 116, my third and final pick.
You got to think with the Bengals' experience playing the Chiefs, even without Joe Burrow, it has to mean something, right? Like, this defense is not scared of Patrick Mahomes. Now they're seeing some blood in the water, smelling some blood in the water, tasting blood in the water. I don't know, whatever the saying is, right? Like, this Bengals' defense, which has been. Did it taste it?
No, I'm not a shark. I'm not really sure.
Sharks smell the blood in the water.
There you go.
What does sharks smell? It. Because whatever it is, we need to start smelling it.
the sharps are smelling.
I wish I had some smelling sauce right now. God.
How you doing? Nonetheless, the Bengals defense has gone up against this Chiefs team countless times in the past couple of years. And even though their metrics have been pretty awful this year from a defensive standpoint, like they've played this team before. This coach Anarumo has coached against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid before. And with all their shortcomings, Cody, I think that checks out nicely for what you're looking for here, which is just a relatively close game. That's all. Just a relatively close game. And where the hell are the Chiefs getting points from? We shall see.
I just want to add, I just want to add one more thing. I forgot to add my Packers pick. For any of you that heard it and maybe you don't like it, I will say this. Matt LeFleur, by the way, in December, 17-2. So the man coaches him up late. And this game is New Year's Eve, 8:20. So hopefully this finishes in December and he could be 18-2. And then I can watch the ball drop because I'm hoping that Jaren Hall's balls don't drop in this game and he's still and they shrivel up inside of his body.
There you go. Beautiful.
I have a quick question. We probably know the answer, but are the NFL just a-holes? Because they took Christmas away from the NBA. Now they got New Year's games that they're going to take away from college football. And you know we're big all time watching that.
Taking New Year's Eve, but they're not. They didn't try to compete this year with the college football playoff.
New Year's Eve isn't the college football playoff.
No, it's New Year's Day now. Monday, New Year's Day.
So they just told them to move it. So they said, hey, nerd, we're sitting here. Pick up your lunch and go elsewhere. Got it. Never mind. They're nice.
Precisely.
Yeah. And, you know, that second game is going to be a nightmare for a lot of people that have to go back to work the next day. Cody, I'm guessing you have to go back to work on Tuesday, January 2nd.
Wednesday, January 3rd. How
Me
you
too,
doing?
Too, Cody. Let's
Beautiful.
Go.
Well, for people that have to go back to work on January 2nd, that second game, Michigan-Bama, right? They're the second game. Or is it Alabama? Or is it Washington-Texas?
No,
Washington-Texas is the second game. Right? That's not going to kick off till 8:45. And with college football games taking like nearly 4 hours now, that game's not going to end at like 12:30 in the morning, 12:45.
Wow.
That sucks.
I don't have work the next day either, Cody. Let's go. We'll be texting.
Yeah, it sucks for somebody else.
And I know you'll be up anyway, Pat.
I don't know if I have to work the fan on the second. If I don't, why don't you guys come over and watch it?
How you doing? Look at that. I love it. I might be there. Cody's shaking his head. No, he doesn't live walking
I'm not
distance.
Walking. Yeah, I'm not walking down the block to
– You don't live walking distance
I'm
going
to call you 6 more times to try to find a parking spot. So I think we could FaceTime if you'd like.
I got better parking by me, Cody. You come by me, we walk down, then we cook.
That's intriguing.
And we cook.
I'll run that one by the old ball and chain. We'll see how that goes.
I think this was the least amount of basketball I watched on Christmas Day in a long time. It kind of sucked, honestly. I watched the Knicks game. Thankfully, they were the early game, so football wasn't really covering my mindset at the moment just yet. So I caught most of the Knicks game. But it was a little weird being like, oh, yeah, wait, who's playing right now? Celtics Lakers is on? Oh, well, I'm watching the Chiefs lose. Mm. Sorry. Like, it was weird. I, you know, granted, I wasn't in a basketball household. I was at the disposal of others, and Ravens 49ers obviously took precedence. So, yeah, it wasn't really competition. But moving forward, you know, Christmas won't be on a Monday. So we'll see what happens. All right. That's all we got. Subway Sports Talk, week 17. My goodness. This will be the last time we speak in 2023. So good time to say thank you to all the Subway Sports Talk listeners out there who, you know, tune in every single week, sometimes multiple times a week, especially during football season, who follow the picks, who appreciate us, who follow us on social media at Subway Sports Talk. Thank you guys. This is, you know, we love to do this and we love to hear from you. We love that you guys tune in every single week. So appreciate you, and big appreciation to my guys, Cody and Pat, who are coming out here every week, talking sports with me, having a ton of fun, and appreciate you guys. And to Mark Shinlugan as well, all the people who hop on Subway Sports Talk throughout the year. Another bigger, better year for Subway Sports Talk in 2024. That's all we got. Cheers to you. Cheers to your families. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you on the other side. Cheers.